ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. وبعد، إن الأصدق الحديث كتاب الله، أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر أمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل برعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، we ended last week before last lecture with the question, with certain questions. Amongst them, I guess the most relevant one, or the one that we requested that people look into, was the narration regarding the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Mu'mineen, who was married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah tabarak ta'ala. And of course this is Zainab bin Jash radiyallahu anhunna. And Allah tabarak ta'ala married her to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after her divorce from Zayd. And there are many wisdoms for that, which this is not the time that we want to go in detail on it. But this was one of the virtues that she had, along with giving a lot of sadaqah. For it is narrated, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in certain hadith other virtues. But this is one of the ones that Zainab bin Jash radiyallahu anhunna used to boast in, a halal boasting of the blessing of Allah tabarak ta'ala upon her, the fact that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala alaykum salam had married her himself subhana to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must recall, or we want to recall in this sitting, some of the adab al-mar'ah, the manners and practices of the Muslim woman. And so that it doesn't seem one-sided, we also will mention some of the virtues or manners that the husband should have with the wife, insha'Allah ta'ala. And we must recall, when we hear these practices, these actions or these manners, or this kind of code of conduct that we are told to follow, that first and foremost we have to have taqwa of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Taqwa of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the most important aspect of a person's life, man or woman. With having taqwa, one will begin to dignify and hold in high esteem and understand the weight of an order when it comes from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Understand the importance of order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with taqwa, one begins to understand the greatness of Allah tabarak ta'ala, and the fact that Allah tabarak ta'ala will punish us with severe punishment when we disobey His orders and do not follow His commands. This is very important to understand when we come to legislation and we come to acts of worship, things that we should do and things that we should not. And it is of the utmost importance for the Muslim woman, because we're living in what some scholars call the second strangeness, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith that Islam began as something strange, and it will go back to its prior position as being strange. So glad tidings, or bush, or tuba, for the strangers. And tuba has been explained as bushra, or glad tidings, and it also has been explained as a tree in Jannah from which the believers get their clothes on a continuous basis, yani forever. This is for the one who practices Islam in the time of its strangeness, that the people don't know, the vast majority of the individuals don't know the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in detail, or the reality of the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and this person is sticking to this deen. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in an authentic hadith that the one who worships Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in hardship, in the times of difficulty, that person will have the reward or will be similar to one who has made hijrah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or hijrah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And hijrah, as we know, the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina was a great virtue, and those who made that hijrah received a great ajr and blessings from Allah ta'ala because of that. So ibadah, or worship, when it's difficult, when it's hard, when you feel that you're alone in the path that you have taken, this is when one will receive the utmost reward. And in the last days, as it comes in another authentic narration, that holding on to this deen will be like holding on to hot coal. And the person who does this will have the reward of 50 sahaba, because they won't have many supporters. Not many will say to you, fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and hope for the hereafter. Not many will say, do not be deceived by the life of this world and its allurements and the beauty that people see or believe to be something that will be here for a while, for it is something that will pass. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mali wa dunya, what am I with the dunya, except like a traveler who laid up under the tree, took a nap, took a rest, and then got up and left. So this is how we should look at this dunya, faniya. It's ending, it will be ending. And every day we're getting closer to the hereafter. And every day we get closer to the final determination of all these matters, and we will face Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and we will be in Dar al-Na'im, the place of paradise, of enjoyment and bliss, or Dar al-Adab, or the place of punishment. And this is very important to understand, that we are musafirun, we are travelers. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahabi, the young Sahabi, Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, kun fi dunya ka'annaka ghareeb, be in this world as if you're a stranger, or abir sabil, or wayfarer traveling through. And everyone knows that when you travel there are difficulties and there are hardships. There's tiredness, there's thirst, there's hunger. And no one stops along the road and gets out of the car in a place that they don't know, and they're passing through, and act as if they're going to be there forever. If someone was to do this, people would say that this person is a fool. He's on his way to a particular destination out west or to the east, and he stops and gets out as if he's going to live along this highway forever. And this is the case of people who have taken the dunya, the life of this world, over the hereafter. So I say these words before I go in detail or in some detail to the manners that the wife should have and some manners that the husband should have, because we have to understand that this is an order from Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, and that the most important thing that we should want is the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Jannah. There's a narration or hadith which states, he who pleases, he or she who pleases, the one who pleases the people, while displeasing Allah, Allah Ta'ala will give that person to the people. This person's tawakkal will be with the people, wakala will be with the people. The people will be, and what will the creation do with someone? They cannot harm them or benefit them. And in the severest of need, when one will need the creation will always forsake that person and not help or aid that individual. But he or she, on the other hand, who pleases Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, even though it displeases the people, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala will protect that person and will make that person independent of the people. There are many actions or code of conduct or manners that the Muslim woman should have. We have covered many of them before. Amongst them is that, like we stated before, أن تلتزم بيتها. She must stick to these qualities. Amongst them is to stay in the house. في دارها. This is the best situation. And this is what Allah Ta'ala has ordered in Quran. And this is what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated in Sunnah. And this is what the Sahabiyat were upon. And to guard in the absence of her husband what she should guard in his presence, whether it be herself or his wealth or property and things of this nature. She should also seek to please her husband in all situations. And no doubt this is something difficult, and this is something that requires patience. But Allah Ta'ala said, because the man also has a code of conduct that he must observe as a Muslim, that the meaning of the ayah, that we have made some of you for others, or we have made both of you for one another, a fitna, or test, will you be patient? Will you be patient? And all of us have been made a test for one another. The rich one is a test for the poor one. The poor one is a test for the rich one. The knowledgeable one is a test for the ignorant. The ignorant one is a test for the knowledgeable person. And so on and so forth. Similarly, in the situation of husband and wife, each is a test for one another. And we're ordered to face tests, any test, with patience, with sabr. And we mentioned the three types of sabr. Sabr ala ta'a. Patient to continuously be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This requires patience. To get up every morning, make wudu and make salah, to eat halal, to order what is good, to forbid what is bad, to make the five times daily salah, of which fajr that we mentioned is one of them, to conduct oneself as obedient servant of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, even though the vast majority of people around you are either unaware of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala or falling into things that Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. So it demands patience. Patience, anil sabra, to stay away from the old things that Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. And particularly in this society which is full of so much corruption, which when the individual man or woman steps outside the door, they see all types of things that are haram, and that one will fall into sin if one looks at or listens to. And here comes the ayah, as we know, about the believing men and women to lower their gaze. For this is a time where the fitna is more than any other time in the days of summer. Ala kulli halin, to be away from that which is haram demands a great amount of patience, and demands that when one falls into that which is haram, that one immediately makes tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. Also patience upon the decree of Allah Ta'ala, upon what Allah Ta'ala has decreed, knowing that Allah Ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, when He decrees something, He decrees it for a wisdom, and it's of the utmost benefit for that servant, even though that servant realize it at that time. This is very important to understand. So to try to please one's husband in all affairs, all matters, then this is something that's going to require patience. There's no doubt that this is something that is going to require patience. It's going to require that the sister makes dua to Allah Ta'ala to help her to be able to achieve this particular quality of a believing woman. And also amongst the adab al-mar'a, or manners of the Muslim woman, is that she should not go out of the house except for a need. And attending durus, or going to the masajid, visiting someone sick, need, haja, as described in kitab, or defined in kitab and sunnah, and as the scholars understand haja, or need, not as we understand it. So scholars understand it, not as we understand it. And that if she goes out of her house, that she be, as we said in a previous sitting, totally covered in hijab shara'i, in the latest legislated hijab, from top to bottom, if you will, and that she avoids the places that are crowded. And she tries her best to make sure that no one knows her, and no one is aware of her presence. No one is aware of her presence. And if someone who is not a mahram, meaning not her husband or her father or her brother, tries to act as if he knows her, she should act as if she does not know him. Let's run the qualities of the Muslimah, of haya, hishma, modesty, and chastity. Also from the manners of the Muslim woman is to be concerned with improving herself righteously, Islamically, every day, to increase her knowledge of Quran and Sunnah. And this is something for the man also, every day to increase one's knowledge of Islam, every day to open up the book of Allah Ta'ala and recite the book of Allah Ta'ala. Don't let a day go past where you don't pick up the Quran and recite an ayah, or other a surah, or a hizb, or a jiz of Quran. Every day trying to improve one's Islam, and one's knowledge of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, is one's practice of Islam. And to be concerned also from adab al-mar'a, to be concerned about the bait, bi tatbir al-bait, alayka salam wa rahmatullah, keeping the bait in order, keeping it, having it where it is in good manner. And if there are children, to be concerned with their Islamic development with their knowledge about Allah Tabarak Ta'ala, teaching them the basics of Aqeedah. Where is Allah Tabarak Ta'ala? How do we believe in the oneness of Allah Tabarak Ta'ala? The names of Allah Tabarak Ta'ala and the qualities of Allah Tabarak Ta'ala. Something about the book of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Trying to teach them to memorize various surahs of Quran, hadith, statements of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, lives of the companions and women of the companions radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. This must be the utmost concern in the household. This must be the utmost concern, and this must be that which has top priority in the house. Also, we mentioned before that if someone comes to their house while their husband is not present, then they should be informed that he's not there without giving great detail. Or any conversation with an ajnabi. Ajnabi is someone other than a mahram. Any conversation with an ajnabi requires that khayru kalam aqalla wa dalla. The best speech is that which is short and straight and to the point, without any detailed discussion. These are some of the characteristics that we wanted to mention briefly. And as we promised, because many times when we mention things such as this, the rights of the husband, and to obey the husband, and to please him in all matters, and so on and so forth, many times the sister says, well, is there anything he is supposed to be doing, or anything of his rights? And we had promised before that we would mention, when we read from the article by Al-Akh Mirwan Al-Qaisi on the Muslim family and the principles of the family, that we will mention some of the characteristics that the husband should have also. And so, to fulfill this promise, we say the manner of the husband, some of the manners that the husband should possess. First of all, is to understand that, as the Sheikh is saying here, laysa min al-aib, is not a fault or criticism or a problem or something to be ashamed of, but rather it is adab, it's a proper behavior of the Muslim husband to help her in taking care of his needs, like for instance washing or ironing a thobe. This is nothing wrong for the husband to help his wife in that matter. As a matter of fact, the Prophet ﷺ was sewing his clothes and fixing his shoes and doing things of that nature. Also, from the manners of the husband is that he should not just be concerned with serving himself. It's no doubt that the Muslim woman, if she's a believing woman, and if she knows, what I mean by believing, a practicing believing woman, actually believing in Kitab and Sunnah as it should be understood, is fulfilling her responsibilities of the household. So it is adab for the man to help the wife, biyad al-masa'ida, as they call it, their helping hand in the situations of the house. Especially in times of need, like al-mard, sicknesses, or wilada, or where the woman is pregnant. These are, and anything similar to this, these are some of the times where the husband is in most need to help his zawja, his wife. The correct or exemplary Muslim husband is the one who helps his wife and has good khuluq and good nature and good manners with her. Matter of fact, the ones Islam look at the one who has the best manners with his family as being the best Muslim, as being the best Muslim, and the one who is most righteous. Amongst the other characteristics he mentioned that the husband should have is that he should be gentle in his manners with his wife. He should watch his words and watch his actions, trying to fulfill also her request that she may ask, as long as this request is not mamnu'a shar'an, it's not something that is forbidden in the legislation, nor is it israf, wastefulness rather, aklan in food, or shurban in drink, or labisan in dress, and things that will lead to something that is haram, then there is no harm, and it is, but rather it is from the best adab to fulfill the request of the Muslim wife. I'm surrounded by bachelors more than married people, so it's not much concern right now. But if you brothers can, inshallah ta'ala, pay attention, you'll benefit bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. There is no individual who is perfect. No individual on earth, this present moment, or in the future, who is perfect. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was perfected by the revelation from Allah ta'ala. So the husband will see from his wife qualities that don't go along with his character or with what he likes. As long as these characteristics, do not go against the basics of Sharia and involve disobedience to the husband, he should not try in that case to change these characteristics. You know, a person may do or say something or have a habit that you may not personally like, but it doesn't go against Sharia and it doesn't involve a disobedience to you, nor is it a deficiency on that person's part, I mean deficiency in the sense of fulfilling your rights, it's not taking away some of your rights, then it is for that individual to be patient. To be patient. And we mentioned this. The ayah that says we have made some, each of you to another, a fitna or a trial or a test. Will you be patient? We have to be patient with one another. And he should recall always that each individual has a personality different from the other individual. And that if his wife has some characteristic or quality that he does not like, that there is, or that she does possess another quality that he loves or likes. And this is based upon a hadith that is authentic, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no believing man can hate a believing woman if he sees from her some characteristic that he does not like. She possesses another characteristic that he likes. He advises also that the husband should not follow up and look for the thoughts of his wife and to call her to account on every point. Because when you find many faults and constant criticism, it messes or corrupts, is a better word, corrupts the connection between the husband and wife and messes up the relationship of marriage. And this is, in general, something that the Muslims should be aware of. And it's just, and it has, of course, it is something specific when it comes to marriage between husband and wife. But in general, Muslims have been told not to look for the faults of their brothers. And there's a strong wa'id, a strong threat from Allah Ta'ala for those who do that. That he who looks for the faults of his brother and tries to expose his brother, that Allah Ta'ala will look for the fault of that expose the fault of that brother and his faults, even if it's in the middle of his house or the center of his house. So this is very important to understand, and that there have to be some, as they say, taghafil, somewhat, if you're not unaware of a particular trait or quality that is, or fault rather, that you act as if you're unaware sometimes, for to find fault continuously, as we say, corrupts the relationship. Do not hesitate, he says, if you're able to do something that will please your wife, whether in clothing or in food or some behavior. Be kariman. Kun kariman. Be kariman. Be generous in infaq. Takuna kariman is what he said. Takuna kariman. Like a salam. Takuna kariman. فالإنفاق عليها بحدود إمكانيتك. Spending on her within the means of what Allah Ta'ala has provided you with. Also, like Sarah Al-Qurqatu, one should not be limited in criticizing actions that are outside the legislation. And this doesn't go against what we just previously mentioned. For if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not become angry for himself, but when the rights of Allah Ta'ala was disobeyed, or order of Allah Ta'ala was disobeyed, he would get angry for that purpose. And this is the responsibility of the husband, to be concerned that debate is upon the book of Allah Ta'ala and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that debate is upon the book of Allah Ta'ala and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and though according to understanding the practices of the Salaf Saleh. And therefore, if he sees any mukhalafa, something that goes against Sharia, that he should deal with that using wisdom, forbearance, and gentleness. He also advises that the husband, as well as the wife, but he's talking about the adab of the husband, that he avoid mentioning the secrets between the husband and the wife. This is something that is mahdhur and haram, something that Allah Ta'ala has forbidden, and something that is haram in the legislation. He also advises the husband to be concerned about his nidafa, his cleanliness, the nidafa of his mouth, by brushing his teeth and keeping those things, what tayyib, or good odor, far as using oils or colognes and things of this nature. This is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we stated before in an authentic hadith, that one of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam hated the most is that someone would smell from him a bad scent. So these are some of the characteristics, and we don't want to go over the issue, but we should be reminded that for the man there are codes of conduct and adab that Islam that Allah Ta'ala in Islam has placed upon him. And for the woman, like we mentioned in the beginning, there are certain codes or manners of conduct that Islam has ordered her to practice. And this requires from us, especially we who are new to Islam, and by new I mean that we our fathers and grandparents and grand-grandparents, our fathers and mothers and generations were not upon the deen, that we be concerned that we apply as much Islam as we can, as much kitab and sunnah as we can, and that we conduct ourselves according to the conduct laid down in kitab or sunnah as much as we can. And this requires replacing the habits that we may have had in the days before Allah Ta'ala guided us to Islam with habits of Islam, with practice of Islam. The worst knowledge that you can have is the knowledge that you don't act upon. Knowledge that is not acted upon is an evidence against us, not an evidence for us on the Day of Judgment. And this is something that we should recall and reflect upon. How much Islam are we practicing? How many books do we have on Islam and the characteristics and the adab that the Muslim woman or man should have? And when we look at our conduct or when we reflect upon how we act or how we talk or our behavior, we find that we are totally opposite of what we're reading, totally opposite of what we know. They say one of the most dangerous illnesses is that illness that you don't know you possess, and that you become aware of it only at the time where it's too late and your destruction is at hand. Like cancer, someone's walking around looking totally healthy, but in fact they have cancer. In fact they have cancer, and they don't become aware of it until it's totally throughout all of their body. And at that point, it is too late, and their destruction is at hand. This is the same case with being ignorant of the practice of Islam, or having knowledge and then not acting upon it. This will bring about our destruction. Allah Ta'ala revealed this deen for us to act upon it. Sit down as Sharia for us to stick to it. The book and the sunnah for us to stick to it, not just in statements, but in our actions, in our behaviors, and in our belief, and in our practices, in our relationships with one with another. If we are not fulfilling the rights of Allah Ta'ala, nor the rights of His creation or His servants, then what are we doing? As Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah quoted, the servant with awareness and fear of Allah Ta'ala observes the rights of Allah Ta'ala and the rights of His servants. He or she fulfills the rights of Allah Ta'ala and the rights of Allah's servants. All of us should consider ourselves sinners and as people who have not fulfilled the rights of Allah Ta'ala. People who have not fulfilled the rights of Allah Ta'ala. And to take it a step further, we should recall that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam feared nifaq, hypocrisy, for lack of a better translation, nifaq. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions in Sahih Bukhari a heading that says nifaq, hypocrisy, or nifaq. No one fears it except a believer, and no one feels safe from it except a hypocrite. No one fears it except a believer, and no one feels safe from it except a true hypocrite. Nifaq is something that we should worry about. Nifaq, or hypocrisy, is something we should worry about, because it lands the individual in asfal an-nar, in the lowest part of hellfire. And the Sahaba Ridwanallahu alayhi ajma'in was fearing this to such a degree that Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu wa ardahu, the secret keeper of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who would inform who the hypocrites were, because hypocrisy is something that you cannot use actions as an evidence of, but it's something that is a matter of the heart that only Allah tabarak ta'ala is aware of. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become aware of them through revelation, and he would inform Hudhayfa bin Yaman about them. Umar al-Faruq, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu feared nifaq. Umar, who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if shaitan seen you coming one way or down one path, he would take another. Umar, who many times his opinions and his viewpoints agreed with revelation before the revelation came down. Umar, who is the best of the creatures that Allah took to have created after the prophets, after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn Khattab asked Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention me among the hypocrites? Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention me amongst the munafiqeen? He said, no, and I will not give tazkiyah to anyone after you. Well, I will not inform anyone after whether or not they are from the munafiqeen or not. So Umar ibn Khattab and the Sahaba feared nifaq, and we know the signs of hypocrisy. إِذَا حَدَثَ كَذَبْ, if the person speaks, they lie. And if they are entrusted with something, they deceive. إِذَا حَدَثَ كَذَبْ, with that, and they are entrusted with something, they deceive. And I want two more characteristics in another in the narration. Two more characteristics. How can we fear it if we don't know it? Allahu Akbar. إِذَا حَدَثَ كَذَبْ, if they speak, they lie. And if they are entrusted with something, they deceive. And if they argue, they are fajr. Fajr means that they talk in battle, and they cuss, and they slander, and they use bad words. And if they promise, they break their promise. You don't memorize this hadith, how can we avoid it? This is like the ayat in Quran where Allah says, do not make wala yulhidun, do not make ilhad in his name. If we don't know what ilhad is, we may be doing it. Nifaq is very serious. Hassan al-Basri rahimullah said, when he heard a man said, may Allah destroy all the hypocrites. Hassan al-Basri said, don't say that, ya ghulam or whatever, don't say that. Because if Allah destroyed all the hypocrites, you have no one in the streets and no one around you, and you'll feel isolated and alone by yourself because of the many hypocrites that are upon earth. And this is why Allah tabarak ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah speaks about the munafiqeen more than anyone else. And there are so many ayat in Quran speaking about the hypocrites. And there's a good book, and I haven't read it, but I heard there was a good book written by Ayad al-Qarni on 30 qualities or something of this nature of the hypocrites. It would be nice to read. But I have read recently the Sifat al-Munafiqeen, Signs Characteristics of the Hypocrites by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah rahmatun wasiyah. It is something to be concerned of. Because the hypocrites think they're doing righteousness and they're creating corruption and confusion. The hypocrites think they're healthy while they're sick. The hypocrites think they're doing ihsan, good, while they're doing bad. This is very important. They believe themselves to be intelligent, and the general believers to be sufaha, to be fools, to be stupid, to be ignorant. This is something to be concerned about. Whether or not we have these amrad, these illnesses, and whether or not we are in fact doing islah, we are doing good, or ihsan. So nifaq is something that should be feared, and it's something that we should pray to Allah Ta'ala, make dua to Allah Ta'ala that we are not from the hypocrites, because none from except a munafiq. The one who stands and says, I'm not a munafiq. He is the one who is in fact a munafiq. But the one who fears nifaq, fears it, that's the believer. Fears that I may be stating things and I am lying. I may be making promises that I'm not keeping. I may be deceiving people regarding my trust, a trust that I've been given. And when I argue or debate, I may use bad language. So these are qualities that we should be concerned of. Amongst the matters of nifaq, al-ittiqadi, nifaq and belief, is to hate anything that, or any part of anything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought. If you have a hatred or dislike for miswak, or for niqab, or for hijab, or for the fact that Allah ta'ala has made allowable for the men to have more than one wife, or that Allah ta'ala has placed upon the men the responsibility to work and the women to stay in the house, any part of the deen that Allah ta'ala has come with, if we have a dislike, disdain or hatred for, this is nifaq, and not no light thing. This is not nifaq al-amali, nifaq in actions like what we're just talking about, saying something and doing the opposite, or promising and breaking it. This is nifaq i'tiqadi, in the belief, in the heart, to hate anything that has come in the sharia, that has come in the legislation, that has come in the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So these are some things that we should be concerned about. And we should have a raqbah or desire for the akhirah, for the hereafter, and for the jannah. For Allah Ta'ala has promised in His book of rewards in the paradise. We should have a desire, an extreme desire, like one who is thirsty, and one who who's thirsty for liquid, or who's hungry for food. A desire greater than that. A desire greater than that. And we don't find this from ourselves, this desire, then we know that our iman is very weak. And iman increases and decreases. It increases with obedience to Allah Ta'ala and decreases with disobedience. So if our iman is weak, then we are doing some ma'asi. We are falling into sins. And if our iman increases, then we know we are doing some obedience to Allah, or some ta'a, and therefore we should continue along that line. We can continue along that line. He or she who wants that the iman is increased, all one has to do is begin to do some act of obedience. And the one who wants, and I don't know who would, that the iman be decreased, all one has to do is to fall into some sin, either with eyes or with the limbs or with whatever else. And the sins, as we know, are a lot, and they're, subhanallah, easy to fall into. But the believer whose heart is aware immediately makes tawbah, one, and it will wipe it out. Comes an authentic narration: fear Allah wherever you are, and follow up a good deed with a bad one, and it will wipe it out. And this is the best type of tawbah and repentance, that the deeds are wiped away and changed, the bad ones are changed for good ones. In closing, I say that there's no doubt that there are many subjects dealing with the Muslim sister that needs to be dealt with. And if Allah Ta'ala grants us time, that we will try our best to go over some of these issues and discuss them in detail and show some real concern for this issue, because it is something that is being overlooked and not taken or given the proper position that it or the proper right or the proper level of attention that it should be given. I advise myself and my brothers to be concerned about themselves. To be concerned about yourself is the best thing that you can do. Because when all is said and done, it is each of us who comes individually before Allah Ta'ala. It is each of us who comes individually in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And I've been asked, because statements are made and false impressions are given about everybody and about different things, and I won't go into detail, I won't honor it with those type of responses. But I'll say this, that the Salaf Salih used to write to one another, correct your connection with Allah, make good your connection with Allah, and Allah Ta'ala will make good your connection with the people. Correct your sara'ir, your sari', you know, the inside, the ma'ir, your inner, and Allah Ta'ala will correct your outer. Be concerned about your akhirah, your hereafter, and Allah Ta'ala will correct your dunya. And I think this is the best way. Someone is mistreating you or vilifying you or criticizing you, be more righteous than that individual. Sadiqu, as Allah says, race to a Jannah, to a paradise that is as expansive as the heavens and the earth that Allah has prepared for those who have taqwa. Race to that. If al khair, do good. Have more taqwa. Have more tilawah of Quran. Have more tahajjud. Be a person concerned about ibadah. Ordering what is good. Forbidding what is bad. Your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't be concerned about what people say or what they do. This is what the Salaf Salih were on. For instance, there's a narration about Sufyan. Authority, if I'm correct. Or Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And either one of them, we can take as a qudwa, because they were great, as example, because they were great scholars. He was making tawaf around the bait of Allah, the Kaaba. And some man came to him, he said, Ya Sufyan, Ya Imam, what do you say about such and such? He says, I say such and such. And he said, such and such person disagrees with you. Fulan, such and such person, disagrees with you. And said, Sufyan didn't pay him any attention. La ya'ba bi. Didn't pay him any attention. Then he saw him later on and said, Ya Sufyan! Going around the Kaaba again. Ya Sufyan, such and such person agrees with you. He didn't pay him any attention. And this is because their goals were lofty and their striving was for Jannah. They were not concerned about the words of the people. The criticism and the praise of the people were the same to them. This is what ikhlas is. Some of them define ikhlas like this. Sincerity to Allah. When you're doing something for Allah, the criticism and praise of people is the same. If people say you're the worst person on earth, it's as if they said you were from the Malaika. It doesn't mean anything. Because you're not concerned with the criticism or the praise of the people. You are concerned with the criticism of the one who can place you in the paradise or the hellfire. You are concerned with the praise or compliments of the one who can place you in his Jannah. So if we have ikhlas, and if we are concerned, if we be concerned about our inner and our hereafter and our connection with Allah Ta'ala, and don't concern ourselves with anything else, we must understand that Allah Ta'ala will take care of all of our affairs. And this is a promise from Allah, and the promises of Allah are true. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. If there are any questions pertaining to the subject of adab al-mar'a, and we answer the question regarding the particular wife or believing or the mother of the believers who was married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Allah ta'ala, and used to boast about that in the halal way, saying that you were married by your awliya, whereas I was married, Allah ta'ala married me to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being Zainab bin Jash radiyallahu anhunna. And many people came with the answer before this lecture, and we say to them, Jazakallah khair, and may Allah ta'ala benefit them for researching the matter and being concerned about the Ummuhat al-Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, and their life and their qualities. And may Allah ta'ala bless us all to follow their examples and be like them as much as we can. Subhanakallahumma hamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.